Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon text for today, Pastor Burgess mentioned we're continuing our series as we work our way through the book of Philippians. So this chapter 3 deals with the confidence. So last week we talked about the confidence that we have in Christ. Today, confidence as we go through our Christian life. So this is the second half of chapter 3 for the book, Paul's letter to the Philippians. So you can follow along with me. It says, this is what Paul wrote, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us, then, who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." Here ends our lesson. Dear friends in Christ, so last week we learned what the Apostle Paul placed all of his confidence in, right? And what it inspired him to do. His life was all about Jesus Christ. Everything about his life, it all focused and centered on Jesus Christ the Savior. And so does our life, right? You might even remember that the Apostle Paul went so far as to say that the things you would find here in this life, like prestige or a prestigious position or the admiration of people around you or the pride that you can take in yourself over things that you've done, things you've accomplished, all of that is garbage. It's just a bunch of garbage compared to this promise of heaven that Jesus holds out to each one of us. Now, as great as that was for the Apostle Paul, he also knew that there was one unmistakable detail that he just couldn't escape. Fact was, he hadn't arrived there in heaven yet. Like it or not, the Apostle Paul was stuck here in this life, fighting for his very spiritual life, being attacked on the inside by his sinful nature, being attacked on the outside, the devil working through false teachers, attacking God's church. He was fighting for his spiritual life. He simply hadn't made it to heaven yet. And in our lesson, it's like the Apostle Paul, to describe it for people, he used terms like he was running a race, the race of his life. Here's a sample of it. This is from our lesson. He said, "Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." In fact, in just a few short verses, Paul used the phrase, "press on," two times. Press on, persevere. It kind of has this idea of running a marathon of your spiritual life, your Christian life, instead of a short sprint to heaven. And as aware as Paul was that he hadn't crossed the finish line yet of heaven, neither had his readers that he was sending his letters to. They were all fighting for their spiritual lives too, one day at a time, running their marathon toward heaven. You know, I've in my life, I have run two marathons. I've also run some team races called Ragnar Relay team races. And I can tell you that the closer that the race comes, the more you think about all of the different scenarios about what could possibly go wrong in the race so that you don't even finish the race in the end. My motto when I ran races, finishing equals victory. I didn't care what the time was that I came in at when I crossed the finish line, just so I finished the race. Finishing equals victory. The Apostle Paul adopted the same motto for a Christian's life. Finishing equals victory. Crossing the finish line of heaven is victory for each one of us. But as Paul sized up the life of a Christian, he could envision all of the different scenarios where the difficulties that come along in life, all the dangers to your faith, he could envision a person easily losing their faith and never actually crossing the finish line of heaven. So what the Apostle Paul did was today he gave us some advice about how to run this race of your Christian life. But like a good coach, he didn't just stop there. Not only did he tell us how to run the race, he said, I can tell you how to run it with confidence. With confidence. He began by saying, look, if you are going to be running this race of your life, your Christian life, make sure that you don't run it alone. Don't run alone. Find an example, a good solid example to follow, and follow them. He put it this way. He said, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. If you run a marathon, you will oftentimes find what they call pace runners, people who will run at a certain pace throughout the race so that you can find a person who runs at your pace, and they will pace you all the way to the finish line so that you finish on time. In fact, even at the beginning of the race, you'll find these people holding signs, right? 4.5-hour pace, follow me. 5-hour pace, follow me. It helps a runner run with all sorts of confidence because you don't have to worry about how fast you're running and if you're going to finish on time. All you have to do is follow that person in front of you, that one holding the sign, and they will pace you all the way to the finish. The Apostle Paul also knew the value of following the example of a fellow Christian who could pace you all the way to the finish line of heaven. Someone that you could have as an example in your life to keep you going toward heaven. Now you might say, isn't that supposed to be Jesus? Isn't Jesus supposed to be the example for somebody to follow? We always hold Jesus out as the example. He's perfect, right? True enough. Jesus certainly obeyed every command from his heavenly Father, and he did it perfectly. He conquered every temptation that came his way perfectly. Certainly, Jesus is a wonderful example to follow. But the Apostle Paul also knew the value of following the example of a fellow Christian. Jesus was never chasing perfection, was he? Jesus was and always is perfect. Never made a mistake. Jesus is always holy and perfect all the time. Paul knew the value of following a fellow Christian who stumbles in their faith, and the Lord helps them, lifts them up, helps them recover, and then they press on, they persevere in their Christian life, and they keep going toward heaven. It helps. It helps to have someone that you can relate to, someone who has fought the same battles, someone that you can follow in your life. It helps you to run your race with confidence. Here's an example for you. While he was still with us here in this life, and while he was still serving our congregation, there were a fair number of people, I'd say a very significant number of people, that looked up to and followed as their example Pastor Richard Shireen. Pastor Shireen. Do you know why so many people wanted to follow his example? It's because Pastor Shireen never made it a secret that there were different times in his life where he battled against depression. It was something that kept propping up every now and again. He would battle against depression. And when the topic came up in conversation, he would never shy away from openly talking about it and his struggles and how the Lord had helped him find the right help for depression. So when we had all sorts of people at different times fall victim to depression in their life, they would seek out Pastor Shireen for help and inspiration about how to pick up the pieces when that happens and press on toward the goal. Pastor Shireen was a real person who had struggled and suffered just like they had. And by the grace of God, Pastor Shireen recovered with God's help and he pressed on towards the goal. And with by God's grace, our members were going to do the very same thing as they followed his example. It helped to run the race with confidence. Did you notice, though, the Apostle Paul also said this, join together in following my example. So Paul would say, look, help each other. Christians should be helping each other along the way to heaven. For Paul, it wasn't your running your Christian race, running your life, wasn't just a matter of finding the right example to follow and say, I call it good. I found a good person as an example for me. For Paul, it was just as important to be the example for somebody else. To be the example for somebody else to follow, helping each other along the way. In fact, the Apostle Paul would say, look, I'm not even the end-all be-all for an example to follow in your life. Find others like me, someone who is dedicated to Jesus Christ, who loves their Savior, and follow their example. You know, practically speaking, your pastors and your called workers here at Crown of Life, we do our very best to be the example, the Christian example for everybody to follow. Are we perfect? Hardly. Hardly. And yet the Lord calls on all of us, called workers, to do our very best, to be the very best Christian example for anyone and everyone to follow. So if somebody wonders what the Christian life is all about, what running your Christian race should look like, well, you should look no further than your called workers. And you should be able to see what running your Christian race, what the Christian life looks like. But even then, called workers are not the end-all be-all, are we? We are not the only example to be had. Children still need the Christian example of their parents and their grandparents as they're growing up. Friends need the example of other Christian friends, especially when the Christian thing to do isn't the popular thing to do. Join together, helping each other out, Paul would say, being the example for each other to follow as you follow your leaders and their example. It helps as you run your race with confidence. But at the same time, Paul knew who he was dealing with, didn't he? Paul knew that he was writing to people then and talking to people now who don't always make the best decisions in who they want to follow as an example in their life, and people who don't always do so well at being the role model for other people to follow or even wanting to be a role model for people to follow. He knew that he was dealing with people like us, people who are sinful, people who oftentimes don't even care so much about our spiritual life to actually go and choose a good Christian role model to follow and emulate. He knew that he was dealing with people like you and me who are so comfortable in our sinful skin sometimes that we would just much rather pass the buck of role modeling and being an example to somebody else. I'm going to handle my own business in my own way, in my own little cocoon, and that's fine for me. Leave me alone. St. Paul knew he was dealing with sinful people. Sinful people like us, sinful through and through. And that is why he sounded the warning, a very clear warning about what could happen. This is what he said. "For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ." Did you catch that? The Apostle Paul was brought to tears. It actually made him cry to consider vulnerable, sinful people like you and me who could easily forfeit the race, forfeit their whole Christian life because they got careless. They got careless with their spiritual life. And Paul knew who was lurking around out there. He talked about the enemies of the cross. It made him cry because he knew what these enemies of the cross were so very good at. They were so, so good at one thing. Here it is. They were good at showing people like you and me, vulnerable people, that the things you can find here in this life, the things that you'd find here, the things that people would find precious and wonderful here, it's so much more important and more valuable than what you'd find there in your eternal life in heaven. They're good at it. Convincing people that this life is a whole lot more important and a whole lot better than your eternal life in heaven. Made Paul cry that these people would attack you and me, that they could drag us down to their level. Do you remember how Paul described them? This is the character of these people, these enemies of the cross. He said, their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. You know what Paul did? Paul immediately redirected people's attention. He redirected our whole focus on heaven. He directed us all toward heaven. He said, look, your gaze should be elsewhere. Your expectations should be elsewhere other than this world. Because remember, you're not even really truly a citizen here. You have a greater citizenship in heaven itself. Paul held out that expectation of things to come in heaven. He said, really, heaven is so much better than anything else you would ever, ever, ever find here in this life. Remember that you are a citizen of heaven itself. This is how he put it in our lesson. He said, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's almost as if in a very few short verses, Paul wrapped everything up in a nice, neat and tidy bow for us. He said, remember that we're all working together here, helping each other along the way to heaven, modeling Jesus for each other, because this is not our permanent home. It's never been our permanent home. We are citizens of heaven. Remember what makes you a citizen of heaven in the first place. Jesus Christ came to be our Savior. Jesus Christ came to give His life as a ransom for all of us. He paid the penalty for our sins, paid our debt of sin in full with His own blood. We are absolutely, completely, totally forgiven. We believe in Jesus Christ as our only Savior from all of our sins through faith. Through faith. And that is what makes us a citizen of heaven itself. The goal of every citizen of heaven is to make it home safely. That's the goal. Every citizen, make it home to heaven safely. So press on. Paul said, press on, persevere together, help each other along the way, knowing full well what the enemy's all about. You know what the devil's trying to do, you know what the enemies of the cross are trying to do and how they work against you. But we cling to Jesus. We cling to Jesus Christ through faith Because nothing but nothing but nothing is more important than finishing the race, crossing the finish line in heaven with our Savior forever. So press on together with confidence. Confident because the Lord has given us each other to help each other along the way, being the example for each other to follow. Confident because you are aware of the enemy. You know how the enemy works and what he's after and what he's trying to do. And confident because you know where your citizenship is. We are citizens of heaven, and our expectations are all there with our Savior forever. Press on. Persevere together with confidence. Amen.